pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Sing it unto him now. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living, will you? Thank you, Harry, for you. Amen and amen. Lord, make me a sanctuary. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures. Turn to where we've been on Daniel 9. We'll read verse 24 through verse 27 this morning. But what I want to kind of do is to do just like a review. I said I would preach along on it, and then I get to a place, and then I would give a review, you know, of what I've been on. And good to see our visitors back there with us. And we always say to you, when you come one time, you're a visitor here. But when you come two times, you're part of us. So we just say to you, welcome, and glad to have you with us. And, you know, but and remember, the Lord willing, Wade will be preaching for us this coming Wednesday. And now remember, the third Saturday, we couldn't schedule this before. Brother Longora was not able to have one of the meetings, and it would have been his in this month. But he is, you know, going to be out of the country. So I told him I didn't want to hold it, and some of the others didn't want to have it. And I told him we want to make sure and have it for this month. So we are going to have the fellowship meeting here on the third Saturday. So my wife and them, June and them, have already got together kind of a schedule of what to bring, you know, to eat and everything. And we hate that we ask you so much here lately to bring food for different things, but, you know, we're just sorry it's fell this way. And the Lord will bless you for it, you know, and give you a great reward out of it, you know, like that, for trying to help and to do everything. But we're, you know, they've got that all figured out and all of the things for you to help. And, you know, if you can't come, you can send it or whatever, because some of it is things you could actually bring a week before, you know, or do whatever, chips, etc., and all like that. So that won't be any problem. But we just pray that the Lord would help us. I've asked Brother Corshane, which is the pastor of the church there in Sweetwater, to do the fellowship meeting, you know, the service that night, you know, for us. So he said he would. And so just pray one for another. I think that's all of the announcements that we've made. And I still don't have a definite understanding yet for the month of April on the, we're going to have the services, you know, anyway. We're going to have the services anyway. On that, we may have to change and have them here or do whatever to keep the cost down, but I haven't got a definite answer yet back from Brother Biscoll and them as to whether he's going to be able to be with us, because they've got some trouble down in Brazil, and they wanted to move it from one week or the other week, and I told him that I preferred not to do that, that I wanted to keep it on the Easter weekend where you could have the days before and the days after for travel purposes. So we're still working on it, but we're going to have the services that weekend, and if we have that one, we won't ask you sisters to fix for that one, okay? Or the brothers to bring. Well, that would be too big if we try to have one like that, but you know, we just pray that it will work out, and maybe it will. So in Daniel 9:24, Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for the day and the hour that we're living upon the earth. We pray that you would just bless us with understanding today as we kind of, Lord, review a little bit upon what we've been talking about, and say some things, Lord, maybe that would be needful or helpful to understand thy word. We know that we need more than anything is to understand the plan of redemption. So anywhere we can study that from, whether it be for us or whether it be for Israel, we can see that it's still always taken care of in Calvary. And we ask you now that you would just come and open our hearts and our ears that we may hear what you would have to be said unto us. Forgive our sins and lead us, Lord, and we pray you'd bless our visitors today that they may understand what we're trying to do, Lord, in the preaching of the gospel and leading your people. And just have your way now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel 9. Not necessarily this morning. Daniel 9:24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin. Now that's the six things. One, finish the transgression. Two, make an end of sin. Three, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Five, to seal up the vision and prophecy. And six is to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 80 days. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 80 days shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Because I said I want to try to review some to make sure that we're following and keeping in line, you know, what we're talking about. And, you know, to the visitors, I'll try to back up as much as I can because I've been in a series, I think this is message number 10, something like that, that I've been talking on the 70 weeks of Daniel and trying to see the plan of redemption for Israel because that's what it shows, the plan of redemption or the time, the dealings with Israel. And see, that will show us our redemptive time, or not days and times and seasons, but the revelation that is revealed to us to redeem us. Because, you know, anywhere you can study redemption, you know, you can see the things and know what it is and all. But now, we started out in this series talking about, and you know, Brother Branham preached a message called, and they put it in title form, called The 70 Weeks of Daniel. It's actually three messages. It's the instructions to Daniel, and then he preached a message called The Sixfold Purpose to Daniel, you know, the coming, and then he preached a message I've called The 70th, you know, to make sure it's pronounced correctly on tape, because I know my southern accent doesn't do too good with the tapes. But the 70th week, see, because he's covering the last part. And we saw that the journey of Israel was what Daniel, if you study the book of Daniel, you'll find that the book of Daniel reveals the beginning and the ending. It reveals the Gentile dispensations of what will take place. It reveals how the Antichrist will come in, and it deals with how he will come in by flattery and take over and you know, be here and make himself to be known to where that he could be the Antichrist, and then the goes next to the false prophet, and then he comes in as an incarnate false prophet, and then he winds up being the beast in the end time that the whole world has been looking for, and everybody thought it was Russia, communism. When the prophet kept saying, don't look that away, he said, look at Catholicism. Because Catholicism, you know, is what's going to deceive us. We're not concerned with communism because it's done away with. Now, Russia's not done away with, because that doesn't do away with your Bible and showing you where everything's coming from. Russia is still very much in existence today, but the communistic part is gone away in that form. But see, it's all to be done, and the prophet said that like you had the Germans and the Fascisms and the things like that, and then communism, and then when you take it and bring it on down, then you have it all to be brought over into Catholicism. And we were talking about it last night, and Sister Barbara mentioned something to us about the three unclean spirits like frogs, and I agree with what was said, because really what you're dealing with is you're dealing with Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And that's those three unclean spirits that was released out of the river Euphrates to be brought down in the last days to where it would see who we are and what's going on. But see, it's all tied up now. All of it's religious. You know, it's all religious. It's a religious atmosphere. The entire world today is based on a religious atmosphere. Even those over there that are blowing themselves up, you know, they believe that they will be given eternal life, you know, so many virgins in heaven because they die in a holy war. See, that's a religious atmosphere. And all of those demons is coming from overseas as we came over here to get our freedom from the Catholic Church, because that was the purpose of establishing America, was for religious freedom. Well, see, all of that now has just come on over here to where now that you can't say anything about anybody because they'll lock you up. But it's like I was talking to them last night. We were over in Israel in a journey, and to be able to go into a mosque under those Islamics and things, you had to take your shoes off. You had to wear a hat. They wouldn't let you in if you didn't do that. Well, I honored it. I tried my best to be honorable, and I went on in, you know, to view. Took my shoes off and wore my hat. They kept hollering at me because I'm bad to scratch my head and move my hat, and they kept, leave your hat alone, you know. But Brother George and them did, but that was all right. But my point is, one of them can come over here, and he's got the great big turban on his head, and I'm not throwing off on it, I'm just saying this, all right. And see, you come in a church, he keeps his on. Well, we take our hat off. See? We take our hats off and things in church, but if he come into church today, one of them, he'd wear his turban. Well, I think he ought to take it off. If I'm going to respect him, he ought to respect me. But they're not going to do it. See, he's going to sue you for you telling him he's got to take his hat off, but if you go over there, the law will make you take your shoes off or you're not going into his temple. That's where it's all come under. Those things are controlling us now. Don't look out there for some great big King Kong monster like my brother-in-law thought, used to think that the beast would be some kind of an animal walking across the earth, you know, stone cold. He comes up out of the sea, you know, and he walk across. I said, my Lord, how can that deceive the world? See? But that's what he thought. Well, see, we know that's not what it is. It's the coming in of Catholicism to take over our human minds and control us, you know, and it's doing it. But now, let's get back to the other part. I'm just picking that part up where it would help to understand. Daniel is revealed by Gabriel coming to him the entire journey of Israel upon the earth. And he covers that in the 25th verse that we read, to where that there is 7 weeks, then there's 62 weeks, you know. And he covers that. All right, we studied from the prophet and found that according to the building of the temple, it took 49 years to build a temple. So in doing that, it brings forth that each week would be 7 years. All right? And being 7 years to bring us, then we can see that Israel would get 490 years then, because if they get 70 weeks and one each week is 7 years, that would be 490 years. And that's not coincidental that Jesus told you, and I'll find it in a minute and give it to you, Jesus in Matthew and in Mark both covered, or Matthew, excuse me, covers that, you know, when, how many times do you forgive anybody? Jesus said 70 times 7. And again, if he asks you, you know, but 70 times 7. See, that's exactly the 490 years our comparison, which would be 490 times to forgive. So it's the plan of redemption. Amen. I've been trying to get you to see the plan of redemption out of the 70 weeks of Daniel, not just to find out about dates and times and seasons and what this is and what that is. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ that's going to save you and I. It's the revealing of Jesus Christ to the Jews. All right. Then we covered back there. See that 69 weeks would come up to the Messiah, because that's what the Bible said. Right? And in that time, God was dealing through the prophets and the different ones that were brought in, you know. But in the last part of it, then God himself came in human flesh, called Jesus Christ, to deal with Israel for 3.5 years of ministry. And as he done that, then that was God himself coming, and he came to his own. He came to the Jews. He did not come to the Gentiles. He even called a lady that wanted to ask a favor of him, you know. He said, we don't have anything to do with the dogs, because that's what the Gentiles are, dogs, you know. We were heathens. Israel was believing in one true and living God. See? And would kill you if you denied that part. But see, we're heathen. We had no right of lineage or nothing. All right? And see, he dealt with Israel, and he preached to Israel. It was Peter that opened the door to the Gentile dispensation, after the day of Pentecost, to where we could come in, and it would be a Gentile dispensation. But God dealt with Israel, and the last thing to Israel was God in human flesh. Now, dwelling among them to speak to them. Well, what are we expecting in the last days? Now, not God, not William Branham being God. We don't believe in that. No. But see, God came down and used a human man to speak to you and I, and as Daniel was shown what would be to Israel through the end time messenger, we are shown what will happen to the Gentile dispensation. We see all of it because we're in the love story in the middle, you know, and we're seeing Christ revealed to you and I. Right? See, then in that, as Gabriel came to Daniel, see, God sent us a prophet. But now he's dealing in the last days with a bride, and who is she supposed to be? What's his last thing to the bride? Or the last time in the end? Will be God in human flesh in you. God in your flesh. So we're ending up the same way they ended up, you know, with theirs being God in human flesh. See, we end up with God in human flesh revealed in the bride form, the children of the living God. See, the plan of redemption brings us to the same. And see, then the Jews will be in the millennium, because that's the promise to them. The millennium is not for you and I. It's just we're just there on a honeymoon, the prophet said. We're just there enjoying 1,000 years because we're already body, spirit, and soul eternal. Right. Amen. But there will be people in the millennium that are not eternal. Right. All right. And see, as by doing that, there'll be a chance to preach the gospel. Right. That you and I can preach the gospel to them during the millennium, you know, and we can explain what all that's about. That's why there's a millennium temple built, not for the purpose of going back to human sacrifices or animal sacrifices, but to go back to the basis of explaining it to them. All right? And see, then it's to the sixfold purpose, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin. What does that do? See, through the new birth, you and I have a finish of our transgression. Right. Amen. See? We have an end of sin, right? Through the new birth. Brought to us by the end time prophet. See, then showing us that Christ is going to come on the scene in the end time through the Word to do away with our sin. What is our sin? Unbelief. And the biggest part of our sin is by not knowing. We didn't know the truth. And see, God sent us the truth to set us free. And then see that it finishes our transgression, makes an end of our sin, it makes reconciliation for our iniquity, because that's the very first thing the prophet covers on the seal. The first seal he covers the mystery of iniquity. Right. And see, you and I are not the mystery of iniquity, because that's the Antichrist. But you and I have all been a part of the same system that the Antichrist called. We all come through Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Catholics, whatever. You know. And then if you was not a member of any of them, that doesn't make no difference because you was born that way. You was born lost. You was born deceived. You was born in iniquity. See? Wasn't that what David said? In iniquity, my mother, I was conceived. See? All right. See, then it all ties together to show us the plan of redemption. Right. See, then it's to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and then to anoint the most holy that we read there in Daniel, you know, 9. All right. See, then we know that it's not dealing to Israel. Look how wonderful. Do you remember when we were talking about this? That see, the prophet said, and the Bible says that we read, to thy people and the holy city. Now that's not Rome. That's not the holy city. The holy city that God deals with is Jerusalem. That's why that when it's even finished and all is over with, the holy city of New Jerusalem will come down out of heaven, you know, to be up on earth and be with us. But see, God is concerned, and the sixfold purpose deals with the city as well as dealing with us. The city of Jerusalem is the one thing, is, you know, it's the place that God chose to have a house built. It's the center of the earth, if you want to call it. Because that's what it is. It's the holy city. The city's not holy. It's that God chose the place. And talk about even to where he put his name and what he would do. And that city's always been, you know, sure it was under captivity of the worldly systems of different ones. But yet it was promised in the Bible that city would stand again. And it's the only government, Israel is the only government that ever came back from annihilation. But it's come back. Now it has its own flag. It has its own money. It has its own, and it has its own city. See? They had to build a new city because they couldn't, you know, they backed out of the part of it and all in the earlys there in the 40s, and they allowed them to keep the city. But they went on and built a new city. But that new city is not what the one they want. It's the old city of Jerusalem that God is dealing with. See? What the world won't see is they want them to leave to the Palestinians and let them have the old city and them keep the new city and say, well, you got your city, you know. But that's not Bible. That's not God dealing. See, God is the one that promised the redemption to Israel. 1967, they came in there and actually even took the Temple Mount. They took the whole thing, drove them out. But to show you that it was not time to end all things. See, they backed out and gave it back to them. And they claimed a great victory. See? You know, that's always odd to me how that you can brag after everything's over with. You know. It's always, you know, you read in the paper the other day where the Iraqis are saying, well, we've defeated the United States because they're going to start pulling their troops out. But where's that fella at is saying that? He ain't going to be out on the street corner blasting it with a microphone. He's going to be writing it from a hidden place because he knows he's... See? But ain't that something? That's just like the devil. You know, you just back up one little step from the devil and he'll come running at you. Right? You just got to keep facing him everywhere you turn around and hollering boo at him. Because if you don't, he's going to build up power and things and come and try to take over in your life. No, don't let him have anything to take over in you. Challenge him up front. Say, Satan, that's not it. That's not it. God said this. There's none of us here today, no man that's ever been in the world outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, was a match for the devil. Brother Branham wasn't a match for the devil. No, but Christ in him could holler boo back at him. I'm not trying to get you to boo the devil. You might get in trouble. But if Christ is in your heart, don't worry about it. That's the plan of redemption to me. If God is in your heart, don't worry about it. The Bible says the devil ain't nothing but a man laying along the side of the way. He ain't even got enough strength to get up out of the gutter. That's what the Bible says about him, Isaiah. I think it's about 14 or 12, 12 or 14. He's just a man laying along the way. He ain't even considered as being a power because he has no power. He only has permitted power. He can't get to you unless God allows him to come to you. Now that don't mean we don't have headaches. That don't mean we don't have bad colds. You know, or sickly. He just can't take your life. You remember he was granted that back there with Job. He could handle everything, but he couldn't take his life. See, and that's the way it is with you and I. He can bring sickness upon us because, you know, I mean, hey, your hair's getting thinner. You guys know it. You know, the women ain't got much problems, but you guys know it. Don't walk out there in that cold weather and stay out there very long. Had a man one time, Wade knows who he is. He come down there to hunt with us. Well, he's as bald-headed as a slicked onion, you know. And he was going hunting. I said, where's your hat? I forgot it. I'll be all right. I said, man, you'll die out there, 30 degrees with nothing on that head. I went and found him a hat. You know. Why? Because you keep that thing covered up, you're subject to diseases and sickness, but Satan can't kill you. See, those things are just natural. But then he can't get something to destroy you unless God permits that. Well, if he permitted it to Job, why can't we think about it? He permitted some things to come upon you and I. See, I'm trying to get you to see the plan of redemption. See? To get you to see what God does with Israel is what he does with you and me. Shows us the plan of redemption all the way through the Bible. And we can see that it runs that way. But see, God, now get my point of this, we know it was the people that Gabriel came to Daniel to tell him of what would happen to the people. But he not only told him that, he told him what would happen to the city. Because he thought that, God thinks that much of it. And the last thing is what? To anoint the most holy. What is that? That's the city to be built. In the millennium. And the temple to be built. Jerusalem's going to be restored according to Isaiah 65. I create new Jerusalem. You say, wait just a minute. All right, I'll give them to you where you'll have it. Brother Branham explains on 332 of the Church Age book that new city of Isaiah 65 is in the millennium. Then he goes on, because it's a compound meaning, he goes on to page 51 of the Future Home, and says that new city will be in the future home. So he's just describing it. There's going to be a city built in the millennium. And it'll be Israel as a nation, we found, in the millennium. It's not for us. We're on a honeymoon. It doesn't matter with us who lives 1,000 years, because we've done gone in a rapture. And gone in a rapture means we're done body, spirit, and soul eternal. Somebody else is going to live 1,000 years on earth to do what? To prove the sin curse is gone. Because what was the sin curse? The day you eat thereof, that day you die. Methuselah was the oldest man that's ever been, 969. No man has ever lived 1,000 years. But somebody's going to live 1,000 years to prove the curse is gone. But it don't make a bit of difference to us because we're already eternal. We're just going to be there on a honeymoon. Having a wonderful time dwelling with our Lord and Savior. Because he's going to sit on the throne of David. Because that was a promise that to David that his son would sit on his throne. And Solomon preceded him in the natural on the throne. But that wasn't what God was talking about. See, the son of David, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be there in the millennial reign as a natural human being. Because that's when he sets his foot on earth, according to the prophet. He doesn't do it, even through the two witnesses, where they say, where did you get the nail prints and all? That's still not through a natural man standing on earth, because God is not dealing like that again. It's in the millennium when they really see him. It's in the millennium when the temple is anointed. And then we found out from the prophet what? According to the Daniel 70 weeks book, I'll give you the paragraphs in here in a minute, but according to that, we are the anointing to the temple. Amen. The anointing is upon the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. Right. Upon you and I. We're the anointing to that temple. All right? It's Matthew 18:22 is where Jesus tells them about 70 times 7. I'm done so far behind on my notes now, I don't even know where they're at. But that's all right. But listen. See, what God does to Israel is what He's doing that to you and I. Amen. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Not that they just dates and times and seasons. But they're correct. But you just got to know how to get everything together. Because if you don't know how to get it together, you can't cover your dates and times. Because God has never dealt with Israel out of 365 and a fourth. You know, the days of a year that we have. Even though the calendar system was changed and everything was brought into a messed up condition at the flood and the world was tilted backward, and that's why you have 365 and a fourth days to keep everything running. You know, every 4 years you got that leap year that comes in. You got to do that to keep the stars. And just the other day they added a second to your clock, so you ought to reset it. Why? Because it throwed their computers off, so they had to reset their whole clock system. 1 second. Boy, I got older, I guess. Maybe that meant one higher. I don't know. You know, one of them turned gray. But now listen. God, in dealing with Israel, is exactly the way He deals with us, except for one thing. They rejected sonship. So He cannot deal with them as sonship. When they said back there, His blood be on us and all, they rejected the right of sonship. Why? Because like I said a while ago, He came to His own, the Bible says. But His own received Him not. But as many as received Him gave He the power to become the sons of God. So on the day of Pentecost, in the upper room, there was not one Gentile. They were all Jews. Alright? But then Peter opened the door to the house of Cornelius to the Gentiles. And brought them into the rightful line of lineage where we should have been. Because it was spoke of all the way through the time that God was dealing with Israel. I don't mean just the 490 years. I'm talking about all through their doing. That Rahab the harlot would come in. A Gentile would show up in the lineage. Ever so often, and things would happen. Those, I believe it's the 30 of the mighty men of David? They were Gentiles. All of those things happened down through there. You know. And when it did, it brought it out and shown it in the, where we come from. Where's Ruth? Ruth was a Gentile. A Moabite, which was a bad thing. As Brother Richard was talking about the other night. A Moabite was a bad situation. But yet, Boaz chose Ruth. And right there come in your Gentile lineage line. And really it messed Israel up as a natural. Because that's what that story is there, why the man wouldn't purchase the property of Naomi, because he had to marry Ruth. And that was the devil, because see, the devil can't cast out the devil. But in the natural story, that man said, no, I won't do it. Because see, he would bring a Gentile into his lineage, and he'd have to raise children to that Gentile name of the man of her first husband that had died. And he said, I'm not going to do it. But look what Boaz. He said, I take all the marks that will be put against me. I want Ruth. Type in Christ in the church. And bringing it into where that it would come over. So it's a beautiful story. What about when Israel, in their dealing with Jesus, dealing with Israel? Why did He say that about that little lady that come to Him and said, you know, let's talk about a minute ago, to call him. He called her a dog. She said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He said, He wouldn't even talk to her. Finally she said, Lord. He stopped because He was her Lord. He turned and he said, well, it's not right for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. You have no right in lineages or anything. You're a Gentile. She said, that's right, Lord. But said, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I preached to you before what I believe happened there. That reminded Jesus that what he come to do was to get a Gentile bride. He didn't come to get a bride from Israel. He came to get a Gentile bride, which would include Israelites, and anybody can come in because it's a Gentile dispensation. See, it reminded him of that. And what did he say? He said, I haven't found this faith in all Israel. Because he knew what he was going to do. He knew where he was turning. He would turn to the Gentiles and bring out a people for his name. And that spoke of throughout the Old Testament. So then the plan of redemption is revealed. The plan of redemption is revealed through watching Israel and seeing who we are and what we're doing. We're seeing that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, so then we don't have to go through the tribulation. Because there's nothing against us to be purged in tribulation. But Israel still has something against her because she rejected sonship. So she goes to what we call the tribulation period for her purging. Brother Brown said, the world, go to the sixth seal. He said, the world's got to be purged. He said, all's got to be purged. He said, and God put them tribes right in there to purge them just at the same time he's purging the rest. But see, you and I don't have to be purged. We're purged by the blood of Jesus Christ. By accepting him as our Savior and depending upon him, we don't have no sin to be marked against us. It's put away. He done away with sin at Calvary for the Jews, but it's not been applied. He done away with the sin for you and I of our marriage and divorce situations, of our denominational doctrines, our ideas, and that was put away at Calvary, but it couldn't be applied. But he comes through a prophet in the last days to deliver a message that now it can be applied to our lives. See, just reviewing what we've been talking about. To see what they get is what we get, but it's in a form to us as bride. But they come up over there as sonship. That's why they'll be, according to about page 14 of the Church Age books, that 144,000 will be in the millennium. But they'll be there as servants to the bride. They won't be sonship, they're servants to the bride. But yet they're not going to be aggravated and hateful and arrogant like they are today. Because the new birth is coming to them. To make them to be like we are. I said like we are. Because the bride's already gone into rapture. But we were talking about it last night. See, people don't even read their Bible. We're talking about a slave or something like that in the Bible study last night. And Brother Donnie had read a scripture there that God would not annihilate land from anybody, and it could only be held 50 years at the most. That's the most it could be held. But you're not talking about governmental laws. That's when a Hebrew buys a Hebrew. The children of Israel was 430 years down in Egypt and lost everything they had. But you're not dealing with that. When it says a slave, you're not dealing like a slave. So they're telling them, go read your Bible. You know that you work 6 days in there, that people work 6 days and rested the seventh? You know your servants did the same? You know the servants didn't have to get up and cook your meals on the seventh day? Read your Bible. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. Read your Bible for yourself sometime. Don't take your denominational thoughts and ideas. Those slaves back there in that form of that was not slavery. You become a slave when you denied the fact of going free, and you become a slave because you're bored in the ear. Come on, sisters, that's why them rings ought not be in the ear sometimes. Why? Because this is what it's speaking of. Why is it you sisters shouldn't wear makeup? Because the only ones that wore makeup was Indians that went on the warpath. All right? Is that true? So you see your wife painted up a little bit, say, honey, what's a warpath? Either you're mad at me or you're trying to find another hubby. You know. All right? I'm just, okay. But now listen. Brother Branham covered showing the dates and the times and the seasons. And we went through that. Two or three services that we covered on showing how it was so mathematically correct what he was talking about. But yet we know too, as we were talking last time, that Brother Brown said God let the flood happen to throw the world out of Kea into a, you know, a tilted orbit to where it would be 365 and a fourth. And God never used that calendar to deal with anybody. He doesn't use that calendar. That's why you cannot depend upon it. God always used the calendar of 360 days to a year or 30 days to a month. Go back and check your Old Testament Israel, where they started their year in April. It doesn't start in January. It starts in April. That's the first month of Israel's journey. And they're dealing under 360 days. Because there's no prophetic calendar can be compared with it. You go over to Revelations 11, and those two witnesses prophesy, and they prophesy for 1260 days. You go over in Daniel 12, and you find out there's times, times, and a half time. That's three and a half. So when God deals with Israel, multiply times, 360, times, 360, 360, and then add 180 onto it, and you'll have it exactly. Now sometimes when I give numbers, just remember, I'm thinking way ahead what to preach, and I give the wrong number. And I believe that's what happened to Brother Branham sometime, because he'd give the wrong number is what he was saying. Because I gave one there the other day where I said that the prophet said we had from AD 30, from 434 BC to AD 30 was 75 years, and he said we need that to bring it down to 483 because it won't calculate, because to Israel, they get the 483 years up to Calvary. Alright? See, so he said we've got to get it to prophetic calendar. So multiply 365.25 by 475. And I gave it this way on the thing, because I told you, I said, I don't have my decimal right. I had to go back, and they corrected me last night. I went back and put the decimal. I finally learned how to do that because I'm still a dummy on all these things. But I did get my decimal in, and I gave it like this. I said it was 17,349,375. See, I wasn't using my decimal correct. So what it is, it's 173,493.75. That would be the correct number, in case anybody hears that, and they go back, and then just divide that by 360. And when you do, you come out to be 481.92900. Round that out, and you got 481 years. You're within 1 year of exactly what the prophet had to say of the children of Israel. If you try to add any more to it, you're going off on the other end of the scale. And you'll run off and miss the whole thing. Because where, as I asked you Wednesday night, I've asked you before, where in the Bible are the prophet's message? Is it 486 and a half year? Which would be 69 and a half weeks. The Bible said there's 69 weeks to the Messiah. The prophet said there's 69 weeks to the Messiah. But see, the numbers are so mathematically correct. You say, well, you got a year's missing. Sure, and the calendar's changed three times in between there, so how are you going to keep up with it? Because I happened to bring all these out before and know it. Because the calendar one time, 1 year, they had 200-something days in it. That's the same thing added that second the other day. Throw them clocks back. Throw that Easter back. That's why Easter never falls on the same day. 4th of July always comes on the 4th of July. Right? Even Thanksgiving is always the last Thursday in November. But Easter never falls on the same day. Why? Because it's lining up the calendar systems. Correcting it with the stars. And keeping all of it. It's supposed to be in the correct order. Alright. But now listen. We covered the plan of redemption to Israel, and that's what they get. That it winds up, as I said, with God Himself stepping out in human flesh to preach to Israel. And then there'll be two witnesses over there that will bring the message to Israel when we leave. And God becomes so visible among them, not corporal, but so visible. He doesn't come in a corporal mortal body, but he comes through the two prophets so visible among them until they say, where did you get the nail prints in your hand? Now Moses ain't standing out there with a hole in his hand. No, he's preached Jesus Christ and what they done. They see they rejected the Messiah. But they see then he's coming back to them just like Joseph was rejected of his brethren. But then when he came to them, see, they said, and we know you're Joseph now. We're going to be killed for what we've done. He said, no, God done this to save lives. Because remember the vision and the 7 years of famine and then the 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine. You know what? 7 years of famine first and then the 7 years of plenty. See, if it hadn't, the whole world been destroyed. God sent Joseph down into Egypt. It wasn't his brother selling him. God was directing Joseph down into Egypt to where Joseph could tell the king how to save the whole world. Which was a type of Christ. He come to die for you and I to save the whole world. Alright, but see, the Bible covers it, the prophet covers it, there were 69 weeks to the Messiah, 483 years. Then there's got to be 1 week left. See, that's what people don't understand. This week goes here, this week goes that. You got to cover a lot of things in that week. You get the Antichrist and his covenant in there and you mess the whole thing up because that has nothing to do with what God is dealing with Israel. Not one thing does it have to do where it says that he'll confirm his covenant when you're applying that to the Antichrist. Where it says there in Daniel 9:27, where he'll confirm his covenant for a week. You apply that to Antichrist, it has nothing to do with Israel whatsoever. It's just the fact that we'll get to it this evening, that Satan knowed that God would deal 3.5 years back there, and he knew that he would have 3.5 years over here of ministry, and Satan tries his best to copy exactly after God, and when he does, he makes his covenant for 7 years, and when he does, he breaks it in the midst of the week, trying to be exactly like God and what happened to him. See, never did the prophet preach in the Daniel 70 weeks or anywhere and change where he put the ministry of Christ. He said there's 3.5 years back there and there's 3.5 over here. But the problem is when the people see it and they come to a point of saying, well, there's 1 week left. Well, that's what your prophet said. That there's 1 week left. Paragraph 95, 105, 118, 151, 165 of the 70th week, the book. I know you can't write that fast, but that's for the purpose of the tapes because you already got yours. Huh? But listen, God is dealing with Israel after the rapture. Right? God comes back dealing with Israel. Gives them 3.5 years of the ministry of Christ. But then there's time after that. That's where the week ties in. There's time after that because the last thing of the 70th week is the anointing of the millennium temple. So the temple's got to be built. The city's got to be built. Everything's got to be done. Because God showed Daniel through Gabriel all the way to the consummation of Israel. And Israel is a nation in the millennium. That's what your prophet says. A nation in the millennium. Huh? See? Then as it's done, that's according to the temple to be rebuilt, according to Ezekiel, he said, 40 to 44, so he gave you the exact scriptures to read. Have you read those? How many of you went back and read Ezekiel 40 to 44 and look at how much is in there about the rebuilding and all? And the fixing and the anointing and the things like that is even in there. Huh? But now listen. As I was saying to start with, God is not just showing Daniel what the people are going to do. He shows it to the holy city. He shows it to Jerusalem as established on earth again. Not over there now. That over there now is a natural nation. That's why after the rapture, Israel will go back to making their daily sacrifices, the red heifer and the things. They're over there right now in one of those gates ever so often. They're offering animal sacrifices right out in front of that gate right now. That's no good to them. That ain't going to bring them a thing. But when we get out of here, they'll get that red heifer and they'll go back to making their daily sacrifices. But that's natural Israel. That 144,000 will be against that Antichrist covenant that they see is made. They'll be against it and they'll tell them that's not right. It's not right for you to go back to that temple sacrifice. Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. They'll try to preach it to them. That's what gets them killed. Those two witnesses can call down fire anytime they want to out of their mouth. But what gets them killed is because they stand against the world. Hey, you think a goody-goody United States, we're going to be in that covenant too. Hey, when it says the covenant of the Antichrist, that's not just Rome. I thought we believed the Bible that we were the image to the beast in America. Because that's what they're using right now, is our power to conquer the world, because we're the only one that has the ability to do it with the firepower, the bombs, the planes, the things. So they're just using us to bring the world under subjection. But inside of all of that of us, we call it American. I'm proud to be an American. But inside of all that is a little bride. God ain't concerned with Wall Street Jew. He ain't concerned with Wall Street Gentile. You and your goodiness ain't got enough goodiness to be worth anything's good. The only thing to be good enough is maybe you might be able to buy a bullet to blow your brains out. Because you're about worth about 30 cents as far as... you're a couple of bucks now. Because the cost of living's gone up to make fertilizer out of you. That's all you're worth. You got potash, petroleum, you got all them things in you. You just fertilize the earth. That's all you work. But oh man, we get up in front of a mirror and we pamper everything. Worth a couple of bucks. The only thing's worth anything is that God is living inside of you. The only man that's ever been in the world is that man, Christ Jesus. The only way you can ever be a man, kids, is be that one inside of you. That's what I've tried my best to tell the kids here. Be a Christian. I've tried even to be playing with you. I don't have anything wrong with the kids playing sports. That's fine. They need the physical thing. And like I've told Zachary, he's pretty tough. Well, I told him. Brother Dick differed with me because he said, if that one right, I said, I don't care. This is my way of seeing it. You go out there and you play that football and you knock that guy down. Play to win. Right. But reach down and get his hand and grin at him. Dick says, no, you're wrong. Leave him on the ground, you know. No, that's the worldly way of doing it. Uh-uh. Reach down and get him by the hand. And raise him up. Just get him by the hand and just help him up, you know. And look at him and grin, so I'll meet you again in a minute. You don't have to be mad at everybody. You can be a Christian and play sports and things. You don't have to be mad at everybody to play sports. You know, just go do it. You know, I kill a deer. I look down at that deer. I say, God, one of these days this won't happen. One of these days it won't happen. And then I just got word, don't kill those hardly. You know, why? Because I just, you know, I just don't care. Now, if I was hungry, that's another thing. If you need it, that's another thing. But I just, you know, that's all right to kill what the law says. Because that's what the law says. If you don't kill those animals out, they're going to be out there and you're going to run over them every time you turn around. See? But listen, I'm just trying to preach a whole natural story, okay? But Daniel saw all the way until the millennial temple would be built. And that's the city of Jerusalem. God thinks so much, as I said a while ago, of that place. There's a range of mountains. I can't remember everything, but I can remember where it was. But I can't call the name. But Reuben, the guide, it was just right down the valley of, I believe it's Kedron, is where David was at. And you remember David and Brother Brown would actually be the one that quoted. But Brother Brown would say, David would say, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. I don't really think that scripturally it said that part. Maybe it did, but I'm just saying, when Brother Brown recorded, he said, David said, let's go up to the house of the Lord. Well, see, the Kidron Valley is like down like this, and it's not a great big old valley. It's just a little small indention, and that was where David had his house. But up here was the city. It was outside, actually, of the walls that they've got today. But what I'm getting at, right on the side of there was a mountain range. Reuben said, Sam, when we captured this in 67, said them people couldn't get one tree to grow on that mountain. Said they couldn't get one tree to grow there. He said it was totally barren, just rocks is all it was. He said, look at it now. Trees just all over that whole mountain. You think God ain't fighting for Israel? Do you know actually, have you read? You've read. But do you know how that Israel was captured back in 48? Or 46, excuse me, I believe it was. You know that the American general was Allenby? And you know when they come in there, you remember the story? And those people that was all gathered up in Jerusalem and all them big soldiers ready to fight. And they come through there telling them and said, Allenby's coming. But he got it mixed up. And they started saying, Allah's coming. Well, Allah was their God. They laid all of their arms down and walked out looking for Allah. There was no battle to take over there in 46 or when it was when they took over. God is bringing it back to where it's supposed to be. It's blossoming like a rose. Go over there to the Dead Sea when there ain't nothing but salt. Total salt laying under the trees, and look at it, of thousands of acres of all kind of trees growing. Grow anything that can be raised in the world, Israel can raise it. How they neutralize that salt to make that stuff grow, don't ask me, because there's white salt laying right under the trees. Been there and seen it. See, that's God doing it. We was riding out through the desert one day, and I looked over, I said, Reuben. I said, what's that little round thing out there? I know what it was as far as rust, you know. It was a pipe about 8 inches, sticking about the ground about this far. I said, what is that, Reuben? He said, we find water in the desert. I said, you mean that's a well? He said, yeah. He said, we find water in the desert. You think God ain't fighting for his city? He's fighting for the city as much as he is for his people. Because that's where the new Jerusalem is going to come down. That's where it's all taking place, is right in there in that one little place. The whole world is against it. When that Antichrist covenant, as I said a moment ago, you know who's going to be against Israel? Everybody in the world is going to be against Israel. We're already forcing them to give up territory that is biblically their own. I don't agree with Pat, what's his name? Pat Robertson, I don't agree with him of all of what he says. I don't agree with him. He made a statement the other day. He said the reason Sharon was dying was because he gave up land to go to Israel. That's him, between him and God. I don't see, he's already got the world into trouble talking about they ought to kill somebody. You know, that king over there, they ought to go out there and kill him, take him out of office. Well, my Lord, all he done was just turn that man loose and made that demon mad, and they started running out all the missionaries and killing them. He ought to kept his mouth shut. Especially being a Christian. Climb in. But listen, God thinks so much of that one little place that there ain't no way to destroy it. Reuben told me when he was over there, he said, Sam, we know exactly. And then Gershom Solomon and Rabbi Richmond confirmed, he said, we know exactly where the Holy of Holies is. Remember that, Brother Dean? He said, right through there. He stopped with us on a tour down under the bottom of the wall. He said, right through there. He said, if you want to pray anywhere, stop here and pray. He said, the temple's right there. He said, we know where it's at. They know exactly where the Ark of the Covenant is. They know it, all of that. All they're waiting on is God to move. But see, the whole world goes into a covenant. It's not the United States still fighting for Israel at that time. The whole world goes into a covenant because the whole world's in a covenant right now. And who's ruling it? Go back and read your seal book where Brother Ryan spoke of Satan, Superman, and said that's who the Pope was. Like I said, I don't make jokes of anybody. Their doctrine is their doctrine. But this last Pope was so well thought of till he bypassed purgatory. He made a whistle stop and they brought him right back out. Now, not a joke. That just shows you how much power they can use with words. They can write their own doctrine. They wrote a doctrine of their own and said Mary was resurrected just like Jesus. Whatever they write, that's their law. But see, the Word of God is what's true. Alright, now listen. Them two prophets will come preaching and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is actually the millennial reign. See, the spiritual side is the part where you and I receive the new birth. But the literal part is the millennial reign. That's when heaven is going to rule over earth. In the millennial reign. Heaven is going to rule over this earth. Because it'll be that. And they'll have to come to that city, just like it is in the future home when it comes down. Because according to, if you'll study the future home and then compare it back with what we're dealing with now of the millennium and time, you'll find out the earth cleaves and pushes up. The earth cleaves and pushes up. And then the cities build onto that. So it's going to be all kind of massive earthquakes and things happening in Armageddon. Getting ready for a millennial reign. Because we've already had our spiritual Armageddon. Right today, that's what's going on. The greatest battle ever fought right up here in these brains. I don't care who's going to be president, because the one God wants to be there is going to be there. The one to take us down, if it takes it being, what's her name? Hillary? Bring her on. I ain't going to vote for her, but bring her on. If that's the one it takes for to do it, just bring it on. Let's get it over with. If it takes persecution to get us into the place we need to be, bring it on. Because we should at least be as John was on Patmos when he said, and he seen all the things, when he got done, he said, even though, come, Lord Jesus. In other words, he seen all the things. Listen, even though, come. In other words, all the things that would have to take place to bring that to pass. He said, bring them on. And come, Lord Jesus. See, that should be desired in each one of our hearts. Not to know what Daniel 70 weeks is, or this or that or the other and what. See, I had never intended to preach on that again. I swore I wouldn't preach on it again. Because I had such contradictory experiences with people and me trying to preach to what I saw of it. Well, I swore I wasn't going to preach it again. You know what happened when Brother Reed wanted me to come to Jamaica and preach on it. I thought, Lord, I can't do that. And I'm not throwing off. He's going to hear this. I'm not throwing off on them. I said, no, I'd rather preach it over here and send it over there. I told him that. He said, good. Then you can come over here and play the tapes to us. He said, you ain't getting out of coming. You're going to come and play the tapes. I said, well, all right. We may do that. But see, I'm not trying to get away. But see, it was started on that basis. Last night, Rachel was sitting back there. She said, I've always been confused on Daniel 70 weeks. And I didn't know this and didn't know that. I said, well, maybe that was the reason I preached. The reason I'm preaching it now is to try to help some that were confused about their thinking. But if you don't get nothing out of it, don't get all the numbers in your mind and get it all bungled up and well, this can't be this and it can't be that and it can't be this. Just remember, God is the one that does it. I told you what I thought. Probably when Brother Branham was sitting there, he didn't have a calculator probably to calculate his doings. He might have. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, he said, we got to have 483 years out of this because 69 weeks is 7 times 62. We got to get the 7s up to 69. 483 years, 7 times that is 483 years. He said, we got to get that right. He said, but we're dealing with a Roman calendar, or Julian, and said, that's incorrect. Said, we take it back to prophetic calendar and said it'd be 483. He probably never calculated it. I'm just saying that. He may have never calculated that to where he would have known exactly. He done it by prophetic calculation. So when he said it, whether or not you agree, I didn't come up to the 482 to try to prove Brother Branham wrong. I come to prove he was that close mathematically. When God speaks to a man's mind like him, we forget mathematics. I don't care what you calculate. It won't work. God's on one calendar, you on another calendar. But when them two prophets come back to Israel, she strikes her right back on prophetic calendar. 3.5 years, 1,260 days. And when he does, it all finishes up. Yeah. Like I said, Daniel 12:7. Turn there just a second. We'll just say one more thing. And let's just read something, because I've been quoting this wrong. All right? I've been quoting, I'll show you in a second, I've been actually quoting it wrong. I don't mind telling you. Because, hey, according to popular opinion, I'm not all the one that's in charge of this life. And I don't know everything. And I don't mean I just made a mistake. I mean I was quoting it wrong. So let's read it. Daniel 12, verse 7. Right. Now, if you go back above there to verse 4, it says, shut up the vision, you know, to seal it up. That was when he was told to shut it up and seal it up and things. And look, then he comes on down and said, And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever, that it shall be a time, one, times, two more, and a half. That's 3.5. Now, Brother Branham, in the Daniel 70 Weeks book, quoting this scripture, says time, and a half. Go read your book. They either misquoted that and misprinted it, or that's the way they say it. But that doesn't make a bit of difference. I'm just showing you, because that's 360 days to a year. Turns out to be exactly as it does over in Revelations, which is 1260. So time, 360, times would be 2 times 360, and then you add a half of a time, and that's 180, comes out exactly 1260 days. Same thing as the book of Daniel. I mean, book of Revelation. Revelations 11. But here's where I've been misquoting it, because I've been using this as a point. Let's go over to the 11th verse. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. I always quoted that as 1,260. All right. I mean, that's the way I quoted it, because that's the way I'd quote it, 1,260. But it's not. That's 1,290. Blessed is he, verse 12, that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335. That's 1,335. Now, if you put that, which has got to be, if you put that after the rapture, that means, I mean, after the tribulation with the 144,000 with the 42 months over here, you give them 42 months, and then you got 1,335 days to deal with afterward. And that's what your prophet put on the drawing. Two witnesses, 3.5 years. Great tribulation, 3.5 years. Which we know goes into the millennium. But I mean, I just always were quoting that because I never did even, I said over there in Daniel, you'll find the 12th chapter that says 1260 days, which it doesn't, it says 1290 days. Because God extends it out 30 more days. Then he extends it out 45 more days. Because totally extended it 65 days. Because nothing in God is a stop here and start. It's not a stop and a start of a split second of a thing. It's when he declares it. Just like we've all thought, you know, well, when Israel declared a nation, well, he was declared in 48 to be a nation. We Baptists taught that, not in the Baptist church. We taught Israel become a nation in 48 and that the end of the world would come by 88. Maybe some of you didn't go to churches where they taught a little bit. Brother Brown said, you better not talk to that Baptist. He knows what he's talking about. We taught that the rapture would come by 1988 in the Baptist church. But see, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the people that see this generation shall not pass away. 1946, the works were set in order to make Israel a nation. 1948, they became a nation of their own flags and things. And see, that's not adding 40 years to get it. Because Brother Brown plainly says, when God recognizes Israel as a nation, there won't be one more Gentile saved. So it's not when man recognizes Israel, that don't amount to nothing. It's when God recognizes Israel as a nation. When is he going to recognize them as a nation? After the rapture. So the Bible's still right, isn't it? This, the generation that sees this, the generation that sees God recognize Israel as a nation, it's not going to be 40 years no more. See, I'm trying to get you to read your Bible and study your Bible with what the prophet says instead of just saying, I just take what the prophet said. Read your Bible because that's where he got what he was talking from. Come on, Brother Dick. See, then what are we doing? God instructed Daniel upon the fact that he was going out of captivity. But yet he instructed him upon what was going to happen to Israel all the way to the consummation, which would wind up in the millennial reign. He showed him all the way to the millennium, but only what God was dealing with Israel. Not the dates and times up to the millennium, but what God was dealing with Israel. He would deal with Israel for 69 weeks, and the Messiah would be cut off. The prophet even gave A.D. 30, April the second, A.D. 30. Alright? He even gave the exact dates of when they started the temple. Go back and try to figure out where they started at by your own calculations. It's hard to even tell which one they're talking about. See, we believe him because God spoke through his lips what we needed. Alright? He said, but then up to Jesus the Messiah when he would be crucified. I gave you quotes on that over and over and over where the prophet in the 70-week series said that was exactly, the 69 weeks was exactly, not 69 and a half, 69 weeks was exactly up to the Messiah when he was crucified. Not when he started his ministry, but when he was crucified. He said, then there's 1 week left. See, everybody says, yeah, but you can't put it. Well, all right, we'll get to it this evening. To the parable. Because we'll review that part of it. The parable. A long, complicated story with underlying meaning, sometimes different from surface meaning. That's Webster's definition of the word parable. All scripture is in parable. We'll cover this evening. You think that Daniel 70 weeks is confusing? I can stand here off of the top of my head and give you about 10 doctrines that Brother Branham taught that I can show you almost a direct verbatim quote, a contrary to what the real truth of it was. That seemingly he said. I said now, seemingly he said. But it's not. It's because of our thinking. See, whatever you do with Israel, you got to put her in the millennium. The sixfold purpose puts her in the millennium because the last thing is to anoint the Most Holy. You don't have to anoint the people. It's not the people that's anointed, because when they receive the new birth after we get out of here, that's their anointing. The headstone is not a separate anointing to you. It is a fulfillment of what you start with. It's a finishing up of what you have. The new birth just keeps growing inside of you until you become out into what you're supposed to be. See, that's what everybody's thinking. One of these days, there's something going to come down out of the sky and it's going to anoint us. Sure, I know how to quote. I know what the prophet said because I believe it. He's going to anoint a church. But it's because you're already anointed by the new birth. He ain't going to anoint you that's not anointed with a new birth. So the prophet said the new birth was the most important thing that we could ever have, is the new birth. But if we don't have the new birth, there won't be anything to anoint at all. But then the people of the message forget that there's a city involved in this message of 70 weeks of Daniel. And that Brother Branham was showed all the way of what Daniel said to the millennium. And said that's the last thing to take place. So whatever you do with the 70 weeks, you got to go to the millennium with it. So, if people are right when they say Brother Branham was wrong and that Jesus preached 69 and a half weeks, which ain't no Bible for it and ain't no prophet for it, but that's what people teach, and it takes 3.5 years left, then how does that tie to the millennium? Won't tie to the millennium. Because I just read you two scriptures that is beyond 1260 days. The scripture says you go beyond. Blessed is he that makes it to the 1300 and something days. 1335. That's a blessing. Don't ask me to explain it, but I'm just telling you that's what the Bible says. People say, oh, I got a quote where Brother Brown said ain't but 3.5 years after the rapture. Now, is he wrong with the Bible? No, he knows what the Bible says.
That's right.
There's only 3.5 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Yeah. Israel gets 42 months exactly to the date. They get their 1260 days exactly to the date. But God then takes them two witnesses up, and evidently, because he never covered it, the Bible doesn't cover it, but evidently the 144,000 wind up going somewhere, because they're all killed, the Bible says. So then they're taken up, and then you go in from Armageddon to a great wiping off or termination of forces, because that's what the word Armageddon means. It means termination of forces, because that's what's taking place. That's why I said a while ago, you're having an Armageddon. You know what's being done right here between these ears? A termination of forces is coming through your brain, because God is dealing from the heart. The devil's dealing with your brain. When we get away from dealing with our brain and start thinking with our heart, then everything's going to be okay. Let's stand. Because see, then it'll be on the revelation. It'll be by revelation then. It won't be just because this means this and that means that. What we got, Brother Dick?
Number 40
in the spiral book. If anybody needs anything, we surely believe in praying for the sick. Number 40 in the spiral book.
Savior, we've entered the glory land.
Be wonderful, thy
end in the troubles and cares
of the story land. Won't it be wonderful, thy won't it be wonderful, thy having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful that, listen, walking and talking with Christ the Supreme. You know that during the millennium, we'll be walking around with Him. We're the bride and He's the groom. He's the Father, we're His children. He's a human, we're His brother. What a wonderful time it will be for 1,000 years.
It'd be wonderful there. There were the tempest will never be.
Where we can fellowship with one another around the world.
Sure that boy,
like many of them as priests, when we get there, we'll all be together. See, all the ages, all the redeemed will be there. I'll be glad to hear Paul preach, wouldn't you? I could spend about 1,000,000 years listening to Peter explain the stature of a perfect man. I think it means 1,000 years because of the sin curse in the garden. But it said that the people have said that that word actually means millennial.
I still believe it's 1,000 years. But you know what? If we're there 1,000 years and we're eternal, won't that be a millennial, a millennial, a millennial of eternity? There won't be no time to us. Because then the sin curse is gone from my brain. Satan, as I said, he's going to have to stand by and look because he's not annihilated. He's only changed. Because he has nobody to work through. Won't that be something, Brother Tatum, that he'll be there with all of that demons and he's got all them things, but he can't touch nobody? He ain't going to enjoy that. He's going to have 1,000 years and he can't touch nobody's mind. Come on, how long was Adam and Eve in the garden before the devil could get to the mind of Eve? He was there, wasn't he? One day he'll have to stand by and listen to us talk about Jesus for 1,000 years. He sure is not going to enjoy it. But we will. Be wonderful there. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. One more time before we go. Think about it. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? You're dismissed. Just pray one for another. Remember the service this evening. Joyously singing, the heart bells all